God. Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4 is dealing with the children of Israel as they're ready to head into the promised land after the 400 years of Egyptian bondage and 40 years of wandering into the desert. Now Joshua is getting ready to take them into the promised land, and he says in verse 1, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. You shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said to them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. This may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded, took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and they laid them down there. And Joshua set up the 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day." Praise God. Father, again, we thank you today for the word of God. We thank you, Lord God, that your word speaks to us concerning memorials and the attitude that we ought to take and the purpose of them, of how they apply to our lives, Lord God. So I pray this morning, Father, as I share your word, that your Holy Spirit would just cause me to be able to share your word this morning with accuracy. Father God, that we may apply the truths of it to our lives, that we may enjoy these awesome freedoms that you've given to us, Lord. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I want to share with you this morning about the purpose of a memorial. Praise God. The purpose of a memorial is to remember something. And Webster says something that's been set up to keep a remembrance alive. The purpose is that when future generations might come along and see the memorial, that they might cause to remember that which had happened, and that they might continue to have the respect and the effect of what had happened those years prior, in order that it helps them in their lives for something for good where they are, praise God. So the children of Israel, like I said, had just spent all this time in Egyptian bondage and out in the wilderness, praise God, and God is now bringing them into the promised land, and he tells them to set up this memorial in order that when generations come down the road, that they might look back, and when they asked what those 12 stones were stacked there for, what the memorial represented, it was to remind them that the power of God that delivered them, it was God that gave them their land, praise God, and let them know why he gave them their land. Why did he drive out the people of Canaan land? He drove them out, the Bible very plainly says, not because he didn't like one above another, but he drove them out because of their sin and the iniquity of the Amorites. It was completely full. He drove them out in order that he might establish a nation on the earth in righteousness, that God was their God. The word of God was their foundation, and it was God that gave them the victory. It was God that gave them the freedom, praise God, and that they were not to desire to be like other nations around them, because they were special. God had done something in them, praise God. And matter of fact, that's one of the children of Israel's downfall, was they desired to be like other nations. Hello, America. Amen. The word memorial, 32 times it's found in the Word of God. You can find it 32 times in the King James Version. 23 of those times it is found in the first five books of the Bible. So over and over in the beginning, when God began something, he laid out memorials so that future generations, how many know what you do in the beginning is the foundation. It is what holds the rest up. And so in the beginning he began to do these things, praise God. In these he laid out memorials. 23 of those times, like I said, it was dealing with these memorials that God had set up in the Old Testament. Dealt with the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, going into the promised land. So these are some of the memorials that God had set up in the Old Testament. Obviously not all 23 of them, but a few of them. Exodus 3:15, when God sent Moses back to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt, he said, Moses said, who should I say sent me when I get there? And he said, just let him know that God's name is I Am That I Am, praise God. And he said that name is a memorial forever. That don't forget that your God is the great I Am. In other words, praise God, he's all you need. Amen. He is the great I Am, praise God. So memorial is not to forget that, because it still applies to us today, praise God. Exodus 12 and 14, another memorial was the Passover lamb, praise God, that was put on the doorposts and lintels of the children of Israel when that death angel passed through the land of Egypt, and the Israelites were safe because of the blood of the lamb was over the doorpost, praise God, symbolizing our salvation through Jesus Christ. But he said, don't forget, remember that the blood of the lamb had to be over a doorpost, praise God, in order to be set free. In other words, remember that something had to die and you had to be covered in their blood in order that you might be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, praise God. Never forget that. That's why Jesus said, when you take communion, do this in remembrance of me, so you don't forget the price that was paid that you and I might have heaven as our home, praise God, the blood of Jesus. Amen. Exodus 13 in verse 9, says this, that the Feast of Unleavened Bread was that for the Israelites was a memorial that God is a pure God. Amen. That means his people are to be pure. His people ought to be holy, praise God. These things are for memorial. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. Exodus 17 in verse 14, another memorial that the children of Israel had was that when Moses had raised the rod of God over Joshua when he was fighting in battle, and God gave him the victory as long as the rod was up, and the place was called Jehovah Nissi, praise God. And that name was given as a memorial, symbolizing that as long as you're under the banner of God, God will take care of you. God will protect you, praise God. Amen. Another lesson for this United States of America: without God, we have no protection, for he is our shield, praise God, and our strength. Amen. Exodus 28, in verse 12, the Bible says there, talks about, and also Exodus 28, 29, it talks about the breastplate that the priest wore, and that he had the 12 stones, the 12 tribes of Israel, on his breastplate, and on both of his shoulders was called the two stones with six tribes on one side, six tribes on the other, called the Urim and the Thummim, in which God gave wisdom to the priest. But the Bible said that priest was to wear those 12 stones over his heart, praise God, symbolizing that the heart of God, the priest Jesus, who holds us, praise God, over his heart. He's our protector and he is our wisdom. I love that last song we sang, praise God. Amen. Praise God. In Exodus chapter 30, verses 14 through 16, here's another good memorial for Americans today. It said, if you were 20 years old and upward and you were a male, you had to bring an offering to the house of God. And it said, the rich didn't pay more and the poor didn't pay less. They all paid the same thing. And there's a sermon there that I don't have time for this morning. Praise God. Amen. All these things were for a memorial, praise God. Things that you do not, so that we don't forget. Those 12 stones were for a memorial. Let's just do a little history lesson this morning, because this country is founded by God. Amen. And our foundations are from God, praise the Lord. And a memorial weekend, which we are celebrating this weekend, is so that we do not forget and to remember. Veterans Day is so that we remember all the veterans that have served in our country. Memorial Day is to remember those who paid the ultimate price, to remember their sacrifice for that you and I can be free. So the Declaration of Independence, way back on July, praise God, the 4th, 1776, amen. Our founding forefathers said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, praise God, and that they're created equal, and that our rights come from God. We have the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? Where did these liberties come from? From our founding forefathers? From government or from God? From God, amen. And that's important, praise God. And so that these rights came from God, certain unalienable rights that God gives us, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it said, and in order to procure these rights that God has given us, that we ought to, and it says that we ought to build a foundation of a government system in order to have these rights in our lives. In other words, that we would have a government that has a consent of the governed. That ought to tell us something where we're at right now, too, when we look at America and what's going on. How many know it's direct consent of the governed that's allowed it to go on? Amen. Church needs to do something about that. Praise God. But these are foundational things. And so they laid a foundation there, put a government in position, praise God, to give you and I, as United States of American citizens, the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then they laid out the Constitution. In the First Amendment of the Constitution was, Congress shall pass no law respecting the establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Congress shall pass no law prohibiting our free exercise of our religion. And how many know it doesn't stop when we walk out those church doors? Amen. Praise God. It ought to permeate every ounce of society that's out there in this country. Amen. Gave us a freedom of press, freedom of speech. All this is in the First Amendment. Gave us the right to assemble in a peaceable manner. And then the Second Amendment, they gave some teeth to the First Amendment. They said those that are the governed, those, you and I as citizens, praise God, we have a right not only to keep but also to bear arms. In other words, they just came out of a revolutionary war, of a government that had tyranny, and they said a government that knows that the people are armed and they know what their rights are, the government ought to fear them, not vice versa. Amen. Praise God. And then a Memorial Day then is when we take time to remember those who paid the price. How many know when a soldier raises his or her hand, or a president raises his hand, or a congressperson raises his or her hand, what do they swear to do? Is it not to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America? Right? Not the UN Charter. Amen. They did not raise their hand to uphold the Charter of the UN. They raised their hand to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. So this Memorial Day, when they raise their hand to honor the Constitution, to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America, and then when they put on that uniform of the United States of America and they die in action protecting your and our freedom, the proper way to honor their sacrifice is to enjoy what they died for. Amen. And that is, we have these freedoms, praise God. And it is because these men and women have given the paid the ultimate price. And I don't know about you, but it honors me to be in a country, praise God, where we have such freedom. And I am not going to let some government tell me that I can't have these freedoms that have been bought and paid for, and they are under the Constitution of the United States of America. Amen. Because we have a theme in this country that runs deep that says, give me liberty or give me death. Amen. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in any other system or country, praise God, except for the one we got. Because this one was founded by God. It was given to us by God. And so we could have freedom, praise God, to declare that Jesus is Lord and He's the only way of salvation, and no government can hinder us from doing it. Praise God. Amen. So then, in long about 1447, I don't know exact, but that's what one of my study books says, that when Joshua went through into the promised land, about 1447 B.C., that he went through there and he put this pile of stones there. And these stones were for memorial, so that when these future generations come along, that they don't forget the God that bought them out of the land of Egypt, because the God that bought them out of the land of Egypt is the God that gives them their liberties. And so they're standing there one day, and there's a preacher by the name of John the Baptist. And this preacher was sent by God to make every crooked place straight, because that nation had got so far away from the Word of God when Jesus showed up, they didn't even know who he was when he got there. When all the time, the Bible said the Old Testament was a picture to show the nation of Israel that the Messiah is coming. They held a picture. They were supposed to hold up a picture every day. This is what he looks like when he gets here. And he looked just like it, what the Bible said. When he got there, they didn't even recognize him because they were holding up a wrong picture they had twisted around. And so the Sadducees, the scribes, had come out. John the Baptist was preaching. He was preaching a hard sermon of repentance and getting back right with God, praise God. And the scribes and Sadducees came out. And they came out, and John the Baptist looked at him and said, "You generation of vipers." This was to the religious leaders. "You generation of viper, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" He said, "Bring forth fruit worthy of repentance." And he said to them, "Don't say in your heart that you have Abraham to your father." Then he pointed to a pile of 12 stones on that Jordan River and said, "God is able to take from these stones and raise up a generation, praise God, that'll honor him." Amen. He said, "God is able to go back to the foundation of what this nation is and raise out of those stones a generation that'll serve him and bring it back to the original purpose that God had caused it to be." Amen. And I'm praying that our God, hallelujah, reaches in to the foundation of our country and puts it in the hearts of these young people. Because I got a feeling that young people are tired of being raised up in busted families and raised up the parents that are drug addicted and raised up and having lives that are hell on earth when they should be able to enjoy life. Somewhere along the line, they're going to raise up and say, "I'm sick of this foundation that our parents are giving to us." And I'm not knocking parents here, but if you're not building on this foundation, you're building on sand, and it'll kill, steal, and destroy. And one of these days, praise God, I'm praying that God is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh, sons and daughters, that will raise up a younger generation, praise God, that'll say, "We know what? We don't want all this. We're going back to the foundation, praise God. God out of these stones is going to raise people up." And like I said, I'm honored. I really am. When I look around and see a lot of the young people that are sold out to God, to see young people that are willing to put on the uniform of a serviceman, praise God, and defend our honor, praise God, and defend this country, praise the Lord. Psalm 33:12 says this: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Not cursed, blessed. Amen. We're blessed to have God as our Lord. Psalm 11:3 says this: "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" There's an attempt in this country to tear the foundations of our forefathers. And part of that foundation is the freedom of religion, to bring God into things, not take God out of things. Amen. Our country's gotten so far off base that we got the IRS chasing conservative groups down, trying to shut them up and destroy them and close them down. Amen. It's going on, is it not? Could you imagine the IRS running Obamacare? But that's where it's heading. This country needs to wake up, does it not? Amen. We need to get back to the foundation, praise God. Amen. We need to bring God back in the church. Amen. Because that's where it starts. Go with me. I'm going to look at a few more scriptures. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy, the third chapter. This Memorial Day, praise God. Joshua said, "Set those stones up so when the kids ask, you can remind them what God has done." And I don't care what the modern thinkers are. Our country was not founded by a bunch of immoral reprobates. It was founded by men and women who feared God. And God raised this country up, praise the Lord. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy 3:15, verse Paul said, "But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Then it tells us what the church is. It is the ground or the foundation of truth. It is the ground and foundation of truth. What is the church of the living God? All over this country, God has raised up churches. They're everywhere. You can't go into any nook or cranny of this country without finding a house of God. And the Bible says right there that the church is a foundation and a pillar of the truth of God's word. Amen. So the church ought to be a place where you come to find out right and wrong, what's good and acceptable in the sight of God and what's wrong in the eyes of God. The church ought to be a lighthouse that calls sin, sin. Amen. If we stop being salt and light, then what good are we? We just become another building on the block. But the church ought to be a place where the community, praise God, could come into the house of God and hear the voice of the thus saith the Lord God Almighty, what is right and what is wrong. And that's been the church is the salt. It is the preserving thing of a society that's out there. Without it, we get lost. So the house of God is where God's word can be preached. And the devil would love to shut up the pulpit, or else he would just love to make it so we only talk. You can only do that in the house of God. You can't do it in the schoolyard. How many know that's a lie of the devil? And once again, this Memorial Day weekend, praise God, in order to honor the blood of those who died for our freedom and held their hand up and said, we will defend the Constitution of the United States of America. Well, that Constitution says Congress shall pass no law prohibiting my free exercise of my religion. Not just in the church house, praise God, but wherever I go, amen, praise the Lord. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. You're right there close. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Tells us the purpose of government in our responsibility as believers. Verse 1, he says, I exhort therefore first of all prayer, supplication, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all those that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So there it says that God has given us these people, that the government leaders, that we are to pray for them in order that we might live a quiet, peaceable life in godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself to be testified in due, gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, praise God. So there it tells us that we are to pray for our leaders in order that we might be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life, because it's God's will that all men should come to the knowledge of the truth. It's God's will that everybody hear that Jesus died to redeem us, to ransom us, praise God, that we might be set free. So let's put that together. He said, you pray for government powers in order that they do not hinder you from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that they don't step in the way. What is the biggest institution the devil tries to get a hold of in countries throughout the years to shut up the preaching of the gospel? Is it not government powers? To try to get them to make it illegal to call sin, sin? Amen? Right now they're in the process of trying to make it illegal for preachers to preach against certain things and call it hate speech. Isn't that true? It's going on in this country. It's like the poor misguided new pope who come out and said that atheists will be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb as long as they live a good moral life. That's blasphemy. He said, atheists will not go to hell as long as they live a good, virtuous life. Then that tells me that the blood of Jesus is shed in vain then. If that's all it takes. I got another question to ask the Pope. I know he's not here, but who sets the moral standard for an atheist? if there's an atheist, who sets the morals for him? Surely not God, because he don't believe in one. How many know the world's got some messed up values of morals? Amen? An atheist, a lot of them, will tell you it's okay to abort a baby. Then they'll say, well, you can't legislate, brother, you can't legislate morality. You tell that to God. Tell me those Ten Commandments didn't legislate morality. Right? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. If that ain't legislating morality, I don't know what is. So he said here that we are to pray that we have a government that is peaceable to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so people can stand behind the pulpit and morally preach what is right and wrong, and abortion is murder. Amen. And we need the freedom to call sin, sin, so people can look at their lives and repent of their sin and turn to Jesus Christ and be born again of the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise God. And so there it says that you and I, praise God, ought to pray for our leaders. Amen. Praise God. So we, like I said, we can call sin, sin. Go with me to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. The Bible very specifically and plainly tells us what a nation or a people look like that turn away from God, who do not allow God to set their morals. Romans chapter 1. And I don't know how much more plain this can be. He said in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth back in unrighteousness." So there it says one of the ways is that the devil or men controlled by the devil try to stop righteousness from going forward is to damp it down or shut it up and push forth unrighteousness as being okay. Calling evil good and good evil. Teaching our children in public schools things that are contrary to the Word of God. They are suppressing the truth when they do that. Let's go here a little farther. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him, or God, from creation or of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, creation shines out and declares that there is a creator. The visible creation screams that there is a creator behind all this. And you can see the attributes of God in everything you look, if you look for it. Amen? You can see the love of God, the unconditional love of God in a little puppy dog if you look for it. Right? Little dog come up and love on you, lick on you. He doesn't care what color you are, how much you weigh, how skinny you are, how tall you are, how rich you are, how poor you are. He's got unconditional love for you, right? You can find it in a little puppy dog. Well, if there is a creation, then there is a creator, praise God. But the Bible says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise. Hello, modern people. They become fools and change the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So right there it says that when people start turning from God, they worship the creation more than the Creator. Isn't that what we see today? Right? We call them tree huggers. I saw a guy had his shirt on and said, "I'm a tree hugger." And I told him, "Jesus hugged the tree for you, buddy, so you wouldn't have to go to hell." Amen. He paid the price for your sin. But we see that. They worship the creation. Let's go a little farther. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So he says it's natural for a woman to be with a man. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of errors of the which was meat. In other words, you can put AIDS or any other kind of disease in there. Verse 28, for even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate minds to do things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despisers, proud, boasters, invent evil things. You got to put abortion in there. That's about the most evil invention there is. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, with covenant breakers, without natural affection. You can put abortion there. Unmerciful. Here it is, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now when you read all that, I know I read a lot, but is that not painting a picture of exactly the mentality of our country? It is, isn't it? And the Bible very plainly says when it gets there, it's because they have rejected God in their knowledge. They no longer want to hear what is right and wrong. They don't want to hear homosexuality is sin. Instead of that, they call the preacher full of hatred. He's not full of hatred. He loves God and honors God, and God calls it sin, and homosexuality will mess up a family and the people involved with it. Amen. You go right on down the line in all that stuff. It's not hatred, but in order for this Memorial Day, we are not supposed to forget the foundation of what God has given us this country for. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, we've got churches in America that need to come back to God in a major way and start holding up Jesus Christ again instead of making up excuses for sin. This country needs a revival. And in order for that to happen, you and I as believers, this Memorial Day, but all the time, Jesus, once again, when he bled and died and handed the elements out to his followers, he said, do this in remembrance of me. In other words, don't forget the price that Jesus had to pay to redeem us. Sin is no small thing. It costs the life of God, and he freely gave it to redeem us, praise God, so we don't have to live under the bondage and the yoke of sin, but we are free in Christ Jesus. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and I'll not forget the one that pulled me out of the miry clay and put my feet on a solid rock. He redeemed me, gave my life back, gave my family back, made me a man and a child of the living God, praise the Lord. And I want to honor his blood, amen. In this Memorial Day, I want to honor the blood of our fallen countrymen that died for the true freedom of this country, the Constitution, which our God has given us, amen. Praise God. And may God open our eyes to this country. And I'm believing God for a revival among the young people, amen. Hallelujah. That they'll stand up and reject the life that's been told them how wonderful it is and leads them to misery. Find the life in Christ Jesus where it belongs. Hallelujah. Let's bow our head with a word of prayer this morning. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Once again, let's just take a minute and thank God for those who have given their life. And when we watch that video, how can you watch that and not be moved? I know the media doesn't show us the sacrifice that's being paid, but it is being paid. And this tomorrow, Memorial Day, there will be families whose mother and father won't be there because they gave their life that you and I might have freedom. I don't know about you, and I do know about you. I'm going to stop saying that. I am thankful. I am grateful for this country that our God has given us. And I am grateful for the sacrifice of our fellow countrymen and women. And Jesus, I thank you for that. Because my Bible plainly says that those who put on a uniform in Romans 13 says that they are ministers of God to punish evil. God, whether they know it or not, it's a call of God on the inside of them to be a soldier, to be a police officer, to be a peace officer. Hallelujah. So, Father God, again this morning, we ask the special blessings on those families. Father God, when you When you hear about the Wounded Warrior Project and see those young men and women who for the rest of their lives will carry the scars of battle, missing arms and legs and burnt from head to toe. The price they have paid is awesome, God. And this morning we are thankful for that price. And we honor the sacrifice by honoring the Constitution that they defended for us. Hallelujah. We enjoy our freedoms today. We will not stop lifting up the name of Jesus. We will carry the banner of the cross. Hallelujah. Jesus, we will live for you. We will honor you, Jesus, and your sacrifice. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in here this morning and you've never been born again, and today you say, Pastor Greg, I feel God tugging on my heart. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you've never been born again, today say, I need Jesus. I want to be saved today. If you raise your hand where you're at, I'm going to pray with you this morning that Jesus Christ will come into your heart, be your Lord, your God, your Savior. Is there one here this morning that God's tugging on your heart? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I want to do one more thing before we close out. Just stay in a matter of prayer. If you're here this morning and you directly know somebody who has given their life on a battlefield for our freedom, I want to pray for you and your family today. If you know somebody or somebody in your family, if you just raise your hand up and put it right back down. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Another hand. Yes, yes, yes. I've had all over this place. Hands are going up. Somebody else. Yes, I see that hand. Hallelujah. Somebody else this morning. Look how we've all been affected. All of us, not all of us, but many of us raised our hands this morning. You directly have a loved one that paid the ultimate price. Let's just take a minute and pray for those families. My God, we praise you, Jesus. Father, you saw these hands have gone up. God, I ask for the grace of God to walk through this thing. The grace of God to be on their lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let the grace of God cover them right now and minister your peace and your love to them. And Father God, I don't know how many times they've heard it, but let them hear it again out of my mouth. We honor and appreciate the sacrifice of their loved ones. Hallelujah. We count it dear. We thank you again for this great country. And we ask you, Lord, to send revival. Hallelujah. In your precious name. Watch over us as we go our separate ways. Bring us back again tonight. We'll give you the thanksgiving, the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.